Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the text for this morning's meditation has just been read. Deep forests, vast prairies, breathtaking mountains, mighty rivers. Nearly 400 years ago, America called to people yearning for a utopia, a good place to show the world what society purged of evil could be like. The Puritans came across the sea and planted its city on a hill, the Plymouth Bay Colony. Quaker William Penn acquired a colony, Pennsylvania, Penn's Woods, where anyone of any religious view could come to find a home, even Lutherans. To America came more utopias, Shakers and Harmonists, Mormons and Amish, eventually Saxon Lutherans and Leah's Colonies of Witness, all tried to erect ideal societies. To some extent, in civil terms, they succeeded. But in spiritual terms, they were disappointed. It seems even devout Christians are still sinners. Who would have thunk it? God has hardwired law into all of our hearts and our creation. And so from the very beginning of civilized society, people wondered, what would it be like to have a perfect society? Plato and his Republic, eventually Augustine and the City of God. As we go down through time, Thomas More, making somewhat of a fun of it, coined the term utopia, meaning good place, but also utopia, meaning no place, because there is no such place. After all, even though Luther didn't say it, the old Adam is a good swimmer. We can live a good life in service to neighbor, but that only goes so far. At best, living according to nature, we can praise the good and condemn the evil together. We can live in well-ordered societies, and civil law can keep and succeed at it a measure of peace and prosperity, curb the evil and keep it in check. Yet it cannot extinguish sin. There is always some way that we will rebel against the rules that are made up for us for our own good, regardless of what anybody would try to do. And so we can give thanks to God that his law does work as a curb and that in good times our societies can keep that well under control, even though sometimes those good times really don't last. Even though there is a measure of peace, even in the best society, yet sin is still there. You see, because to keep the law is extremely difficult, even if externally. You can run your checklist of the Ten Commandments. You can say, look, I go to church on Sunday, that gets the first table all down. I don't ever swear. I can take care of that. I love my parents. I haven't murdered anybody recently. As I go down the list, I have honored my wife. I don't covet, at least publicly. And so you think that I might be able to do that. The new Moses, however, informs us that exterior righteousness really doesn't work. Beginning with the slam of that whole thing in the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord goes through and points out that it's not good enough not to murder. You can't even swear at them when you cut them off in traffic and show them the universal sign of displeasure. It is not enough not to commit adultery, but to even look at a swimsuit model of, if you're male, female, if you're female, male, and think thoughts slightly inappropriate. Even that is adultery in God's book. You see, Jesus pointed out, it is not those things that come from the outside that corrupt a person. It is that sin inside of us, that sin that constantly thinks evil thoughts all the time, that corrupts a person. And if you can't deal with that problem within you, there is no chance that you are going to stop sinning. You see, education will not cure it. Redistribution of wealth will not solve it. Piety will not quench it. Striving to overcome it will not work. No matter how high the standards you set, no matter how hard you work, sooner or later, the old Adam and Eve is going to get you. That is why the works of the good guys in the time of Jesus, the Pharisees, really just didn't hack it. They may be able to get the exterior right, but interior they are still filled with lusts and envy and all that goes with it. And so if you want to enter God's kingdom, your righteousness has to exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. If you're going to try to do that, good luck. You're going to need it. What we need is a completely different kind of righteousness, not one that comes from inside of us that we can gin up, that we can work hard, that we can strive to keep, but a righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ himself. Jesus, the Blessed One, who lived the perfect life for us and fulfilled every letter of the law, even in Greek and Hebrew. He kept every aspect of that law for us, so that when he took our evil to the cross, he was able to break its power once and for all, dying for our guilt and being our punishment. When he rose again from the dead, he brought to us the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. In baptism, we receive from him this righteousness, a righteousness which exceeds not only that of the Pharisees and the scribes, but fulfills God's perfect purpose exactly. That righteousness is now ours, so that when we come before God's throne, what he sees is his Son and not us. Yet we still do sin, because the old Adam still lives in us. But when we find it difficult to keep more than just the exterior law, we have someone who can live in us. St. Paul reminds us it is not us that lives, but Christ who lives in us. When he said, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." And so, when we have trouble keeping the law, we can turn to Christ who is within us, who has kept the law already for us. And from his strength, we actually can live good lives in this world. And as we live, and as we serve each other and serve our neighbors, Christian or not, we will become a light in this world where people will look to us and see Christ and wonder, how is it that you can live that way? And when we tell them we can't, but that Christ can, they will be drawn to him who is the source of all light and life. And we will be the salt in this world which keeps it from going completely out to lunch, but stays reasonably intact until the day Christ comes to bring an end to sin and death and the power of the devil. And when the true city of God will descend from heaven itself, the church, perfected in God's glory, to live in the new good place, the true utopia, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, fill our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Amen.